that you bless.
You take them and use them in such wonderful ways to transform lives, lives that come to know you, to trust you, to share your love as we share it as well, as we devote ourselves to you now. We even devote ourselves in these next moments we share as we look to your word, that you're building us and shaping us into instruments that are more like Jesus. Such a wonderful one that we want to live and serve for. And so we give these gifts in honor and token of our gratitude and love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, seated. Thank you. You'll turn with me in your Bibles. We're looking this morning at the book of Galatians. We're in a little bit of a series about the Holy Spirit. We kind of began it last week, and I want to continue on this week as we begin this series in the Holy Spirit. We kind of talked to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit last week, but this week I'm going to talk about something very special called the fruit of the Spirit, because Paul's going to talk about that in this letter he wrote to a church in Galatia. It's chapter 5, and we're just going to read a few verses 16 through 25. If you'd like to look at it in your own Bible, or along with me in an iPad, or in that a burgundy book, a pew Bible, and that's page 1075. Let's really look there together. Beginning at verse 16, Paul wrote these words, "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what it is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." May God bless to our hearts and our understanding this reading from His wonderful and holy Word. I read recently from a book by Pastor John Ortberg. It's a book entitled The Me I Want to Be. It came out in about 2010, a wonderful book nonetheless, and that were these years have passed. And in it, he tells the story of a man who is shopping in a grocery store with his 2-year-old son, who is very, very fussy. And as he's pushing his son in his cart, he keeps saying these words, "Be patient, Billy. Be patient, Billy. Oh, be patient, Billy." And finally, a woman who's observing this walks up to him and says, "Sir, I have to compliment you. Your son, Billy, is adorable, but he is so ornery. And right now, I am so amazed and so taken how patient you are with little Billy." He smiled and said, "Actually, my son's name is Patrick. I'm Billy." Now, if you've had children or now with grandchildren, you can have those moments where you're just, "Oh, Lord, help me. And it's not going so well." And we're just looking for resolve and strength and energy to get through that moment. And as we're in a series where we're talking about the Holy Spirit, not coincidentally, it's also a series that's to help you and encourage you as we begin a new year. And we began talking about making resolutions, and that resolution of really giving our all, our heart, mind, and strength, and all we are to loving God, and from that love to love one another. But how do we do that? Well, we said we're empowered by God's Spirit. But we're going to go a little further, because Paul does, because we can all have a desire to be, and actually we're called to be more living a life of the Christian. And that's said to be a life that looks, an example is that of the life of Jesus. But it doesn't take very long. We start out as new Christians with the resolve, oh, my past life is my past, and I want to live differently. But those old habits are kind of ingrained, and it's hard to get past them. We say, but I want to be different. And so we keep trying, and we resolve, and we well within us. I saw the minister talk about patience today, and I'm going to leave this place, and I'm going to be more patient. And you don't even get on Route 23, and someone cuts you off, and you give them a piece of your mind, and something maybe else beyond, and so much for the patience. Your wife reminds you, didn't your husband, did you talk about patience? It didn't last very long. What happened? And, I mean, this is how we're supposed to be, and what we need to acknowledge is what the Apostle Paul's talking about this morning. And again, this is for you, this isn't just for information, but for encouragement for you. A little bit of both. A little bit of information that you may not be aware of. And even if you are, to be reminded and to be encouraged of the desire that the Lord wants you to be more like Jesus. And the message of Paul is he's the one that's going to enable you to be the one that does that. But how? He tells us this morning, he says, what you need to do is realize that there is a battle going on within us. He says there's the battle between what's called the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, and that battle of the flesh, which is called the works of the flesh. Now, he talks about flesh. He's not talking about this. It's talking about that old nature that we're born with that is apt to sin. That's just the DNA we have. It's like someone got up and asked a class. It was a teacher. He said, how many of you lie? And everybody first says, no, I lie. So, well, who taught you how to lie? And one kid said, nobody taught me how to lie. I learned that all on my own. Well, where'd that come from? Sin. It's just something that we all battle with from the very start. But what the Bible teaches us is that when we make that decision in our life, having heard about Jesus and his love, and that we're guilty of sin, and we're willing to say, Lord God, I'm guilty of sin, I admit it. And that sin merits death. But Jesus came to forgive that sin and to give me life, not just now, but forever in heaven with eternity. Amen. And I trust that he did that, and I'm going to follow him as my Savior. The Bible tells us in John 3 that we're born again, born anew. We're born of God's Spirit. We get a new start. A spiritual starting. The Spirit of God comes into us. Now, doesn't mean that those old habits are gone away. Now there is a little bit of a battle going on. What's going to really move our life? Paul says you can be walking by the Spirit or walking by the flesh. And when you walk by the Spirit, what I want you to know today, the key thing, what he really wanted his readers to know is, look, you are here today, I believe, because you probably want something more in your life. You want to be more like Jesus. You want to be blessed more by God. You want to be in that place that he wants you to be. But how does that happen? Well, what Paul wants us to understand in this lesson is that it comes about by God the Holy Spirit bringing it about in your life in what's called the fruit of the Spirit. That's what happens. That God comes into your life. The Spirit of God comes into your life. And what he's teaching these folks is, look, there's an experience that you have. In verse 22, it said that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, is something that the Spirit does. It's not something we come to church and I talk about love, or I talk about joy, and I talk about peace or patience. And my purpose for you is to, you got to will yourself into this, because it doesn't happen on your own. What he says is, if you are a Christian, if you're truly a Christian, and you make that decision, you want to follow Jesus and be more like Jesus, the Spirit of God will begin to build what's called this fruit in your life. It's not something you do. It's something that he does in your life as we walk with him, which I'll describe in a moment or two. He basically says he's going to make this fruit happen. You can't put it in your life. It's like the story I read about some kid who would continually misbehave, and his father would send him to his room, and he'd go to his room and lock the door. Well, you know what he'd do? He'd open the window and climb out and shimmy down a fruit tree. It appeared to be dead and gone for years. Nothing had grown on it for years. And the father got tired of it. And one day he finally said, I've had it, honey, I got to tell you, I'm done with this. That doggone tree hasn't borne fruit in years. And he tells the kid, so I'll tell you what, let's see how well it works for you. I'm going to cut that tree down. It hasn't grown anything. I'm going to cut it down. Let's see what you do now. Because it's obviously not worth anything anymore. Well, that night, this schematic kid gets this idea. He goes out to the store with some friends, and he buys a couple of bags of apples. And he comes back, and he ties apples on the tree. Now, there's apples hanging on the tree. Well, the father goes out the next morning, and he looks, and he says to his wife, wow, will you look at that? He goes, what a miracle. And she goes, well, what do you mean what a miracle is? Well, first of all, this tree's been dead and gone. It hasn't grown fruit for years. And we come out this spring, and all of a sudden, there's apples on it everywhere. She goes, well, what's so amazing about that? He goes, what's amazing about it is it's actually a pear tree. We just can't build and put this fruit on the tree. It doesn't work that way. What the Spirit does is the Spirit comes, and the Spirit makes it happen. What's so interesting in the Bible is how God takes, and he literally uses a wonderful picture, if you will, of how the Spirit works. And I want to have you do this, follow along with me for a minute. Now, I decided to do a couple of visuals this morning. Now, we have this in our bedroom, and basically, do you know why we have this? Why do you think we have this in our bedroom? Well, some people think it's to keep you cool, and that's true, but we run it more than to have that dull white noise so we can sleep at night. But do you see anything coming out of this?
Nope.
I hope not. If you do, we're going to have to get you some out. You can't see it, and you don't even necessarily hear it. But what we do is this. We can see the effect of it. You can't see wind. Do you notice how this blows us around? You can see the effect of the wind on this piece of paper. It just wants to blow it around. My hair. No, I got too much hairspray. Anymore. Well, that's the picture that Paul is giving them, because the word Spirit that's translated in the Bible is the same word that's used in the Bible for the word wind. The Holy Wind, the Holy Spirit, pneuma is wind. And so what he says is, here, the Spirit of God is going to come, and in a way which is invisible that you don't see, he's going to build this fruit. And by the way, it's not fruits, plural. It's different things, but it's one fruit. So what it's saying is that the Spirit, over time, is going to do something that pastors and theologians like to tell you God is doing the work of sanctification in your life. Which is a nice word for God's working, and he's going to spend your lifetime making you holy like Jesus. That when we begin to be followers of Jesus, he begins that first day of process of making us more like Jesus. And by that, it's evidenced by fruit. I gave you a passage of scripture that Jesus speaks of where it says, each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes, or grapes picked from a bramble bush. And what he's saying is, look, if you're a Christian, A Christian is going to evidence them being a Christian by the fruit of what it is to be a Christian. And he gives it to us when, and this is really a description. All these, this fruit that Paul describes is really a description of Jesus. It's really the very descriptive of God, one of love. And that's agape love. It's unconditional, all out. There's nothing greater love than his love. It's having joy. Having to go through life and knowing, even in the difficult moments of life, I look at people going through such trials and they have a joy. Like, God's working in my life. Yeah, but I know God's working. And then in those moments, having peace. How do you have peace? Because I have peace because God is working. And I know that. In the same way in which I know that God, you're taking tenderized a piece of meat and be all this meat you want it to be. And God's taking and tenderizing and making him more like Jesus. And so they have a sense of peace in their life. And as it goes on, how there's a greater faith. He builds goodness and faith. I want more faith. He builds that faith in your life. He gives you that desire, that sense of a greater gentleness. You say, man, some days I just don't be able to control myself. Yes, you can. The Spirit's going to do it. And he does it step by step, day after day, just a little bit more. And if you've been walking with Jesus for a number of years, you should be able to look back and see how your life has changed. And you are growing in all these areas more and more over that. And if you're not, you need to call me first thing tomorrow morning. We'll talk about it. Because it says we're either walking by the Spirit, which then he builds us, or we're walking by the flesh, which are those other items that he talked about, which are completely contrary to God, like hatred, bitterness, jealousy, envious, and raising strife and creating faction. Those are totally contrary to God. And if that's what people see in their life, well, we need to really want to know, is Jesus in their life? Is the Spirit living in their life? But if he is, then he says, what he's going to do in our lives, he's going to build this fruit. So you want to be more like Jesus, let me know. You can try it. And the Bible does say, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Yeah, Paul says that. But what he's really saying, and here's the hope and encouragement for you today, is everything that God wants you to be, he'll never ask you of anything that he won't enable you to do or to be. And to be all these things, he's going to build and grow this in your life. But here's the key. All this is going to happen, like Paul says here, when we remain intertwined and connected to Jesus. When we remain connected and intertwined to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will inevitably grow what Jesus says is much fruit. This fruit, he's going to grow it in our lives. But our place is, he says, walk, or as I give you a portion of scripture from Jesus where in John 15, and actually the verse before I gave you is verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me. Stay connected with me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, you neither can grow fruit unless you remain in me. And then he continues, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Because I'm the tree trunk, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in him produce much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
Now, how do you envision that? Prop number 2. I brought this with me today. Now, I'm not going fishing. Now, this is a branch that I found in my yard. And I have a question for you. What month do you think this will start growing leaves and whatever else grows on this? Do you think it'll grow it in April, May, or June? When do you think you can expect leaves or whatever it is to grow from this?
Never.
What?
Never.
But I like this.
Not connected.
What? Why won't it grow? Why won't it grow?
It's not connected.
It's dead. So, your soul
has no roots.
No roots, no life going into it.
That's right.
Do you know that's the picture that Jesus gives in that passage in John 15?
Yes.
He says, I'm the trunk. If you remain in me, all those life nutrients, all that you need, will flow from me, the center of all life and love and peace and joy, into you. Mm. But if you're parted from me, nothing is going to grow. All the opportunity for the nutrients and all that's vital for life, they're nowhere, they're not available. Do you see what I'm trying to illustrate with that? And so what he's saying is, if we remain, if we stay connected to Jesus, if we walk with Jesus, the picture of that is that we get up every morning, we get out of bed, and we hit the floor, and I do this, say, Lord, this is a new day. And you know what? Today, I know there's before me opportunities that you may lay before me to honor you, to serve you. Wake me up to them if they come. Give me the words to speak. Lord, whether I go to work, I'm driving in my car with my kids, my grandkids, my spouse, my friends, by how I act and by how I speak, may I be a person of greater love and joy and peace and self-control and gentleness. Help me, lead me. Bring that about in my life. Lead me where you want me to go. Show me what you want me to do. God, help me, empower me. And by the way, I could use a little bit more faith today. I want to do that. And every day, Lord, Rick Warren says this, every day when he gets out of bed, one of my prayers every morning is, Lord, today I want to know you a little bit better.
Yep.
I want to love you just a little bit more than I did yesterday. And I want to be a little bit more faithful in serving you than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's a daily, moment by, step by step every day. Just a little bit more every day. Just a little bit more every day. Kind of like how we exercise. You first start exercising. Everybody go out and you start running 3 miles. You know what? I'm going to get in shape. You're going to run 3 miles and see how that works out for you. But you start just a little. And you get a little bit more every day. A little bit more every day. And that's the whole picture here is when we remain in Him, when we walk by the Spirit, we're walking with Him. In other words, it's not trying more. It's trusting more. It doesn't mean we don't try. But we don't put all our eggs in the basket of my trying is going to make it happen. We put our eggs in the basket of trusting. Not trying. Write that down. Laura, she's writing that down. I knew she'd write that down. Not trying, but trusting. I can hear the scribbling going on back here.
I got it.
It's not the trying that we do. It's the trusting to say, Lord, I trust that you will bring this about in my life today. I'm going to do it more today than I did it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to walk. I'm walking in a conscious faith and belief that you're with me today and you're going to make this happen.
Amen.
And so that I would be known by my fruit. People are going to know that I'm a Christian, whether I say it or not, just by how I act and how I live. That they see more love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. And it just is something you're welling about in my life.
Right.
I want to encourage you in that. This is a work of God. So as you lead to how do we go from this place? What do we do? The first thing is to know that, as I round out that outline I give you, the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to grow this fruit in your life. I want you to try to please Jesus. But I want you to trust that He's the one that's building this fruit in your life. The key is that we remain connected, intertwined, attached to the vine, to Jesus. Now, there was a great application I got on this passage from a pastor named Skip Heisett, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Albuquerque. And he said, here's the practical way to do this, folks. He goes, how do we do it? We feed one nature and we starve the other. We want to feed the nature of the Holy Spirit and starve that old sinful nature of our flesh. And there's, if you starve it, eventually it just grows weary, weak, and just fades. We want to feed that nature. But how do you do that? How do you feed the nature? What's the way to do this? I thought about this practically. Young men or ladies come to me to get ready to get married, and they'll inevitably, the guy will take me aside at some point and say, what's the secret to a happy marriage? And I'll say, the secret to a happy marriage for you will be the secret to a happy life. And I can wrap it up for you in four simple words. You know what they are? Anybody know? Guys, you want to write this down? I heard Ron, he's going to say it. Happy wife, happy life. Happy wife, happy life. Someone watching, I'm going to do it. That's right. But how does that happen? Okay, first of all, it's talking with your spouse. Any of you people have a problem with your spouses talking with you? Do you have a greater problem with them not talking with you? We could be in the car driving. I would be driving for about an hour. And Patty looks at me and goes, "You're not saying anything." I thought you'd find that refreshing. No. Talk to me. Talk to me. I like it when you talk to me. Not talk at me. Talk to me. Talk with me. Okay. You know what that is for us walking in the Spirit? That's prayer. That's talking with God. Complete. You know, if you say, "I don't know how to pray." Yeah, you do. Call me on the phone. I'll give you a little outline. But you know what? Do I have to teach you how to talk to me? Do I have to teach you how to talk to your spouse or your friends or your family? God just wants us to talk to him. Be real. Please don't start going, "Oh, thou heavenly fatherest, thine is not the glorious." You talk? Who are you talking to? I don't talk that way. Just talk to him. And then the next thing is they like you to listen to them. True? True? Do you like when your spouse listens to you? Driving down the road, and she's talking, and embarrassing them, and if I'm just, you know, I'm paying attention to the road. She's, "Are you listening to me?" Sure. Then what did I just say? You ever do that one? What did I just say? Oops. Now what's that? That's listening to God as he speaks to us from his word, the Bible. Well then what's the next one? Then there's the part where we come and we give them flowers, guys. If that's what your wife said, give them flowers. My wife loves flowers. Now please don't just do it when you get yourself in the doghouse. That just kind of blows it for the rest of the times. But giving your wife flowers, because what's it saying? If I want to give this to you to let you know how much I value you and how much I love you, and this is just one way of demonstrating. Oh, she'll say, "I love you. I know you love." It's a good one. It really is. You know what that is? That's coming to church or at other times and giving to God. You know, like we just gave God from this morning. Why? I say, "God, I'm giving you because I love you." Okay. The world, this money's so important to me. It's important, but you're even more important. I want to give this. And this last one I'll give you is this demonstration. My wife's having a tough day. She comes down and she'll say, "I'm not getting any younger." She said to me the other day, "I feel and look so frumpy." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "Oh my goodness. I think you're the most beautiful woman in the world." She goes, "I'm not, I know that." I said, "I don't care what you say." I said, "To me, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. And that's all that matters." She just got a tear. You know what that is? That's worshiping and praising God. You see how these things we do to develop? Because Christianity is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And what builds a good relationship in this world builds a great relationship with God. And we have a choice, as I give you. No one can serve two masters. You hate the one or love the other. You're devoted to one. You despise it. God says, "Look, you've got to make a choice. It's me and pursuing with me or pursuing anything else in life that's more important, that ultimately you're going to deem more important than me." This walking by the Spirit is determining there's nothing more important in my life. And so my first thought when I got out of bed and my overwhelming thought throughout my day is walking with God in faith, trusting the Spirit to work in my life. And I'm going to make that choice and do it this way.
Yep.
How can people tell if you're a Christian?
By your love.
Are you growing fruit? Yep. Are you attached and remaining to the vine, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the ways we just talked about? Let's pray about it. Father, thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you for your word, this lesson that Paul has. He gave it 2,000 years ago, but it's just as real, just as relevant, just as transforming today. If we just don't hear it to build our minds, but to allow it to settle in and realize that the life that we live is not one that you called us to try and eke out and struggle and maybe we'll develop these things. No, you sent your Spirit into our lives to grow these wonderful characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. That's what you want, and you enable us to do it by your very Spirit itself. Ours, to feed that, to remain close to you, connected with our Savior Jesus in prayer, in the study of your word, in giving, in worship, in these ways that we do in our world, in our relationships. God, we want to do it with you today. That we know you know, but that the world knows that we love you, that you're living in our lives, and we evidence it by the fruit that you are growing and will grow even bigger, brighter, and more wonderful and splendid. Not just today, but even more so in the days to come. And so we thank you for this lesson. Thank you for what you do in our lives.